Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity of thought, there's accuracy, there's precision. As the truth of God's word is taught, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And at the end of today's meeting, our saint, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. I'll be starting a series this evening, which we already know. And it's titled, what? The Name of Jesus. The Name of Jesus. What is it about the name of Jesus? What is it about the name of Jesus? What do we mean when we say the name of Jesus? What do we mean when we say the name of Jesus? What does the Bible mean when the name of Jesus is mentioned or used? Are you with your Bibles? So talk with me to... We start from Matthew? Okay, so go to Matthew 28. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Are you there? Are you there? Beautiful. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore, in verse 19, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, right? And of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, this is what, as believers, we call the Great Commission, right? We call this the Great Commission, and we see it as an instruction to the believers, and believers are to take, you know, and pay attention to that instruction. And then, you know, in this verse, we're able to see what the purpose of the believer is, or what our purpose is as believers. One of the frequently used words amongst believers is purpose. Do you agree with that? Yes. Yeah, purpose. Let's say, so what's the purpose? You know, when you discover your purpose in life, right? Let's not go that route this evening, right? But we always believed, you know, the purpose in life. What is that thing? You know, I remember when I used to teach about purpose. Say purpose. I remember when I used to teach about purpose. And, you know, I hear me say things like this. You see, your purpose is that thing that you will keep doing even when you are not paid for. I mean, is it purpose? Is it a purpose or passion? You know, that thing that you will keep doing with ease. That thing you will keep doing without stress. You see, that unction on your life to function is what facilitates that which we... Right, so we've preached about purpose, and, you know, we've always thought that God has called some people to be doctors, right? Some people to be lawyers, whatever, industrial physics, whatever you want to call it, industrial chemistry, biotechnology, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, you have a willpower to decide what you want to do. So look at it this way. Believers, God doesn't call believers into certain fields. But believers that have been called by God can choose to go into any field. Did you get that? I'll say that again. God doesn't call or and pick people into certain fields, right? But believers that have been called can choose to go into any field of their choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's your decision. Right, a lot of times these decisions are influenced by what we see around us, who we see around us. So, what is our purpose as believers? Jesus tells you in Matthew 28:20. He says, "Teaching them to observe." He says, "Going into the world." So that is your purpose. Hallelujah. So God has called you with a purpose, and the purpose is to go into the world and what? Teach all nations. Are we together? Say, "I have a purpose." Say, "I have a purpose." I have God's call on my life. Right? So your purpose is not to be a lawyer, an architect, whatever that is. Your purpose really, so a believer can choose to do anything alongside his purpose. Are we together? So does God have a purpose for your life? Yes. What is his purpose for your life? to do the work of evangelism, right? To teach people, yeah? Teaching them to observe, going into the world and teach all nations. So that's God's purpose of for your life. So there's a calling that comes with the work of salvation. Are we together? So when you receive that gift of salvation, it comes with a calling. Right? So God has called you. God has called me. Are we together? You see, we will not all function in the financial sector. We will not all function in the engineering sector. Yeah, but we are all to function in the kingdom sector. Hallelujah. We are all to function when it comes to teaching, when it comes to Bible study that leads to, by extension, or leads to, by extension leads to what? Teaching. So it says, going into the world and teach all nations. It says, baptizing them in the what? The name of the Father. He now says teaching them. So go and make disciples. Would that mean go and make people students of scriptures? Is that what it means? Does it mean to train people? To train people? So who is a disciple? A disciple is one who is trained. Are we together? Are we all disciples here? Yes, we are all disciples. So a disciple is one who is to be trained or who is undergoing training. Now, whilst you are a disciple, you still have an instruction to go into the world to make more disciples. Are we together? So you see, there is not a time where a discipler will not continually be a disciple. It's like a cycle. Look at Mark 16. Look at what Mark records in Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. So let's do a quick study, okay? Look at Mark 16:15. It says, and he said unto them, let me allow you to get there quickly. Mark 16:15. Are you there? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hold on, let's stop in 15 first. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Did he say behave the gospel? Did he say act the gospel? Did he say do the gospel? Now, is there anything wrong in doing the gospel? Is there anything wrong in acting the gospel? Is there anything wrong in behaving the gospel? So in the real sense, the instruction is preach the gospel, right? Are we together? So the behaving, the acting, the doing will be offshoots or offsprings of what? The gospel you have believed. So he says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Now, let's look at those two words, preach the gospel. The word there, preach, is the word keruzo. The word there, preach, is the word keruzo. K-E-R-U-S-S-O. Keruzo. Then the word there, gospel, is iagelion. Keruzo Iagilion, that's what it's called. Yeah, so go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, fundamentally, we've learned over the years what the gospel is. And now, but there's something we do as believers a lot of times when you're asked, what's the gospel? There's a phrase that comes to your mind. What's that? Good news. Are we together? Good news. So the gospel is the good news. Yes, yeah, so to say, it is the good news, but it's not entirely what we call it. Yeah, so we're going to do a study on that, maybe in days to come, in years to come, but there's no rush now, no pressure, right? But for now, you call the gospel the good news, or the good news of glad tidings, or glad tidings, right? But if we look theologically through scriptures, we see what the gospel really is about and what it entails. We'll do a study on that. So, keruzo, iagelion, did you get the spelling? E-U-A-G-G-E-L-I-O-N. Is that right? Right? So, keruzo. Yeah. So, preach the gospel. Now, the word there, keruzo, means to enroll. So, keruzo iagelion. E-U-A-G-G-E-L-I-O-N. Lion. Right? Yeah. So, we have a mandate to preach the gospel. Now, what is it? What does it mean to preach? We said it's keruzo, which means to what? Herald, beautiful. So we are to herald something. We are to herald something. And it says, herald the gospel. So we are to preach the gospel. That is our mandate. Are we together? That is our mandate. That is our purpose in life. So it says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now look at verse 16. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But he that believeth not shall be what? So, there are two people that you would have as recipients of the instruction or the mandate to preach the gospel. The first set of people, those that are what? believe, and those that don't what? Believe. So there are two people who you would see. So for every time the gospel is preached, there's a category, or there are two basic categories that we highlight in Mark 16. Those who believe and those who don't believe. Altogether. So it says, he that believed and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believed not shall be what? Condemned. And these signs, look at verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you there? In my what? Hold on. Mark 16, is that similar to Matthew 28? Right? So it's the same narrative, but by two different people. Are we together? Are we together? So, in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach. Would that be similar to Mark 16? Preach. Right? Preach the gospel. Right? He now says, teaching them to observe. No. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in what? The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He now says, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out. So, do you see the word name here? Do you see the word name here? Do you also see the word name in the book of Matthew 28? Name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Mark 16. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not what? Or dead. They shall what? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Are we here? Look at John. Go to John. So we've looked at Matthew. We've looked at Mark. Look at John 20. John chapter 20. The name of Jesus. John chapter 20. Let's look at verse 21. John 20, 21. John 20, 21. He says, okay, are you there? Are you there? John 20, 21. He says, then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Is that similar to going there for into the world? Is that similar? Okay, keep reading. And when he said this, he breathed on them. What's the word there? He breathed on them. Can we stay there? Now, we explain that word there, believe, over time, which we'll pay attention to in days to come as well. And it's a word that means to enliven from inside, right? To supply life. And said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He says, whosoever, now look at 23, let's read together. John 20, 23, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Is that your Bible? So, whosoever sin you remit, they are remitted unto them. What does that mean? It means that he has given an instruction to do what he can do. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? We'll look at that in days to come. Now look at verse 31. Look at 31, 31, 31, 31, 31. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his what? Disciples, which are not what? Written in this book. Now, this book, is that Genesis to Malachi? Is that Genesis to Malachi? It's not, right? So when it says in this book, that is what? The writing of John. Beautiful. So it says, many things or many signs did Jesus do in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. Now look at 31. Let's read 31 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Are you here? So do we see Matthew used name? Can you see Mark used name? Can you see John use his name? Are we together? So you see the consistent use of name. So he says that these signs are written that you might believe. So did Jesus operate in the supernatural? Did you see the miraculous in his ministry? What does the book of John tell you? He says these signs are written that you might believe. So what was the end goal of every miracle Jesus performed? That men might believe. Are we together? That men might believe. That men might believe. So, men are to see the signs and believe on something. So it means that men will see signs and not hold on to signs. Did you get that? Yeah, men will see signs, men will see the miraculous, and they will not hold on to those miraculous, but they will hold on to the miraculous. That miraculous, that those miraculous point to. So he says that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. So he says that you might believe these signs, or that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. So it means that the goal of a sign is to make you believe that Jesus is the Christ. So what is a sign meant to prove to you? A sign is meant to prove to you that Jesus is the Christ. Did you get that? So a sign is meant to prove to you that Jesus is the Christ. He now says the Son of God. Okay, so the sign is to make you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Are we together? Are we together? So can we say these signs you are to believe, they are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, okay, you might believe, by believing, you might what? Have life through his name. So we have signs and wonders. They point to what? They point to Jesus as the Christ. Is that true? They point to Jesus as the Son of God. So when you see signs, you believe this and you have this. What is this that you have? Life. Are we together? You see the signs, you believe the signs, right? What now happens next? You believe he is the Christ. You believe he is the Son of God. And you have life. But he now says something about life, that you might have life through his name. So it means that the signs and the believing that Jesus is the Christ will have to deal with his name. Or in the foundation, or on the foundational ground, you would have to consider his name. Did you get what I just said? You see signs, right? And when you see signs, you see that Bible tells you that John says they are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. So when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, by extension, you receive what? Life through his name. You see, look at it this way. Look at it this way. Can we say you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you have life and stop there? Can we say that? Does that change the fact that you have life? Can we still say that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ and you might have life through his name? So it means that believing that Jesus is the Christ is also believing in the name. Yeah? Because believing that Jesus is the Christ gives you life. He now says that you might have life through his name. So life through his name is equal to believing Jesus is the Christ. So it means that through his name and believing Jesus in the Christ is the same. So can we say you can believe in Jesus, you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of God, that is, you believe in his name. And what do you have? Life. I'll say it again. So you believe Jesus is the Christ, you believe Jesus. Now what do you see to believe? Signs. The miraculous. So you see the miraculous, right? In seeing the miraculous is to point you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that you might have life through his name. So can we say when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you believe his name? Why? Because believing his name, you receive what? Life. Believing Jesus is the Christ, you receive what? Life. Are we here? So he says that these things are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. Now look at Luke. We've seen Matthew. Is that true? Have we seen Matthew? Have we seen Mark? Have we seen Matthew? Have we seen Luke? They are following. So go to Luke. Look at Luke 24. Right? Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be what? Fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Right? Let's read verse 45 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then open ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Oh yeah, let's shoot again together. 46, 1, 2, 3, go. And thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. Carefully, let's read 47 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Okay, hold on. Repentance, remission of sin should be preached. So it means that believing that Jesus is the Christ, believing that he's the Son of God, believing in his name, they are all in the same WhatsApp group with what? Remission of sins. Did you get that? Did you see what I did? Okay? Baptizing them in the name of the Father. So it means baptizing in the name of the Father. In my name they shall, this sign shall follow. They shall cast out demons. Believing that Jesus is the Christ. Is that true? Believing that he is the Son of God. Believing in his name. Which actually sums up as what? Remission, repentance and what? Remission of sin should be preached in his name. So see what it says in verse 45. It says, then he opened their understanding, right? Now look at verse 45. Then he opened he their understanding. Now the word there opened is a word that means what? To open for the very first time, right? To reason through, to reason thoroughly, right? To see something as though it wasn't there, or to see something for the very first time. Right? So he opened ye their understanding that they might what? Understand. So what the word they're understanding is the word what? Nous, N-O-U-S. Hope you're writing N-O-U-S. Yeah, the word they're understanding, the word nous, right? And it's a word that means mindset altogether. Mindset. So he opened ye their understanding. So he opened for the very first time, right? So it means that he opened for the very first time that they might what? Understand the scriptures. The other word understand is synonymy, right? Synonymy, and it means to put together. So what really happened in Luke 24:45 was the fact that they reasoned the scriptures together. Did you get that? They reasoned the scriptures together. So they put the scriptures together and reasoned it through. Now, he now says in verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written. So, was it written that Christ, so is he saying it is written, how do I say this? So, when he says it behoved Christ to suffer, is that part of what it is written? Now, when he says to rise from the dead the third day, is that part of what it is written? When he says repentance, remission of sins, you preach in his name, is that part of what is written? Will you see that phrase anywhere in the scriptures? Will you see that phrase anywhere in the scriptures? No, you wouldn't really see it. I want to say something very important right now. So it means that when we are having subject matters as believers, when we say the Bible says, we must have the entire Bible in mind. That's very important to take note of. I'll say it again. When we are considering any subject matter, when we say that the Bible says, it means we should have the whole Bible in mind. Not just one text. All together. Yeah? So when we say the Bible says, we are referring to the whole Bible. So on any subject matter regarding our faith, we have the whole Bible in mind. We have the whole Bible in mind. So we don't cherry pick. You know what it means to cherry pick? Yeah, to pick as it suits you. So we don't pick as we feel like. No, when we want to establish doctrinal things or things about our faith, we have to look at what the Bible says. So we only say the Bible says when that verse of the Bible is consistently in tune with the rest of the scriptures. Did you get that? Did you get that? So you can easily say a part of the scriptures. Are we together? So you see, it is written. So when it says it is written, what should come to your mind? The text of scriptures where that was literally written, or what the Bible is summatively saying regarding that conversation? Let me help you. In Luke 24, verse 45, 46, it says it is written. Please read that next line for me. Are you there? Luke 24:46. What do you say? It is written, and thus he behoved Christ to what? Suffer and to rise from the dead. Now tell me where it is written. So open your Bible to Genesis to Malachi and look for where that was written. You say somewhere. There's no. In fact, the first thing that should come to your mind, he says it is written, and he says Christ. The first thing you should come to your mind, where do you see the word Christ in Genesis to Malachi? So it means that it's either Luke is lying. What do you think Jesus had, or what do you think Jesus used to come to the conclusion of it is written? The entire scriptures, not a text in amongst the scriptures. Do you get that? Is it that Jesus is lying, or Luke directly Jesus is lying, or we need to reinvestigate what they meant by it is written? Are we together? So Jesus will tell you it is written, Christ is to suffer and to rise on the third day. So that means Jesus is saying it is written without it being written. Are we here? So it means that when Jesus will come to conclusions in Bible study, he would use the Bible as his textbook and not a text of the Bible to make a point. So whilst he uses different texts, right, we will only conclusively say the Bible says where we holistically. So it means that the summary of Genesis to Malachi is Christ will suffer and rise on the third day. So what is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying Christ will suffer and rise on the third day without saying it literally. Did you get that? Did you get that? So when we say it is written or the Bible says, it means we have to holistically, when we want to establish a subject matter, we need to holistically look at the Bible. So it means that we will not establish doctrine from one verse of the Bible. Did you get that? It means that we will, bless you, it means that we will not establish doctrine from a singular verse of the Bible that ministers to your renewed mind. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I said? I'll say it again. The Bible is a book that is to be approached holistically. Right? If you fail to read the Bible that way, you will most likely not get to a feasible or a conclusion or the conclusion you ought to get to. Are we together? So he says it is written that Christ is to suffer and to rise, and that repentance and remission of sin is to be preached in his name. So when we want to establish any doctrine on any subject matter, we look at the Bible holistically. Now, let's take it back a little. Every believer has a purpose. Is that true? Every believer has a calling. Every believer is called with a purpose. What is the purpose? Preach the gospel. So, when they say, what is your purpose in life? What do you do? What can you summarize it as? Preach the gospel. What is preach the gospel? Keruzo, hiagileon. Are we together? Herald that glad tidings, right? Or what you call the good news. Praise Jesus, right? So now, teach will imply to be an ardent student. Or let me say it this way. Teaching will imply paying deliberate attention to scriptures. So every believer has a call to preach or to teach scriptures. Now, remember, teaching doesn't mean say what you think. How many of you, maybe in years time or years in time past, right, you want to have, you come for a gathering, maybe a cell meeting or somewhere, just come together as fellow believers. Did I read one scriptures? I remember one of them. I was one of them last 2 years ago, 3 years ago, right? Bible says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Brandon, so what do you think about the scriptures? You know now. What do you think? They want to sound so spooky. What's the Spirit of God ministering to you about that scripture? And you now say, what I can see, Abby, what I can see from this scripture, are we together? What you can see, I am not really seeing anything. You know, I'm becoming more aware of God's word. I know God's word is not new. You know God's word is not new. You know there's nothing we teach today that is new. I hope you know that. No, it's true. Now think about it. If you cannot decide or be happy when somebody reads your writing, which is impression. Imagine I come here, I start telling you something. I took my bag from the office to the car. You now say your spirit is telling you that no, that bag was inside me. You just say that bag, no, you didn't move it, it was inside. And that's what I get from that statement. I took. The word there took is the word that means possession. That's which you are holding on to. You know, and that's what the spirit says. So it doesn't make any sense. You know, a lot of times, the quarrels we have with ourselves, especially maybe in relationship, is lack of understanding. Do you understand? You're fighting with your wife, you're quarreling with your wife. Right? The only reason why sometimes when they pour water on you, right, and you're not calm, is because you don't understand. That means you don't like to be misinterpreted. Do you understand? Imagine you say something, and your husband now says, is it me you are commanding like that? Me, you, command. You know, say, no, that's not what I mean. And that's why, okay, the easiest way to see that kind of example is through chats. Not that's why sometimes when you want to say something, even partner cannot pick, just ask them, are you with your earpiece? And record voice to that sent. Because the mood of your partner can help them interpret what you are not saying. I know sometimes something you've been saying over time that they know you've been saying, just because they are not in the mood that time, they will now hear what you are not saying. And you too, you will now be angry. Sometimes, how would you think I meant that? Imagine you not liking to be misinterpreted in when you communicate something, when you say something. So that is the approach we must have towards the scriptures. We can't afford, we need to sit where the audience of the author is sitting. How together? You know, a lot of things that we are reading today will not make sense 20 years from now. A lot of things you are reading today will not, see, you know, there are lots of slangs that have changed. How together? Give me an example now. There are lots of slangs that you will not use. Sapa. Let's use sapa. So sapa is a recent word now. It was added to dictionary recently. Are we? It means that 20 years ago, we didn't know what sapa is. It might be somebody's name. 20 years from now, you know you might not say sapa again. What is sapa actually? No, say it now. I'm not saying who are you with sapa. But he said when they are suffering. He himself, he doesn't want them to misinterpret him. It's as basic as that in communication. So why did he say when they are suffering? Yeah? Because he doesn't want to, you know, the words of your mouth is the confession of your, this thing, you know. So in the real sense, when you look at life generally, you don't like to be misinterpreted. Imagine I wrote something today. So I wrote something today. So let me use an example of what I wrote today. Right? So I wrote something on my post. So I said, your heart is so beautiful, whatever I said. And I said, why did your smiles increase? Yeah, so your heart is so beautiful and it's so touching. It's so your adoring heart is whatever. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, and it's a solid foundation to build an empire. I was going to say bricklayer. Now, you know that, and I now put comma, I said something else. I said an empire where we consistently feed on God's love. I did it with a purpose. Because as a pastor, do you know what I'm trying to say? As a pastor, if I put full stop after empire, that's trouble. This is what I'm trying to say. So you need to be deliberate. This one, offering at tight, is there. I want to be the empire. Do you get? So I have to, as a people too, we're not seeing the qualification. Right? Yeah, I see that your heart also will build an empire. Because the first thing that comes to your mind, pastor, empire, is normal in Nigeria. Pastor, empire, Pastor Sunday, Wednesday, empire. Right? So I had to qualify it just because I don't want you, any random person, to just assume, we church money. What did I say? What do I say we do in the empire? We feed on God's love. If you lie, don't read that part, you're on your own. So we don't like to be misinterpreted. The Bible doesn't like to be misinterpreted. Are we together? Let me show you a few examples this evening before we go. Okay? We're looking at the name of Jesus, right? But we're trying to lay foundational teachings as usual. Right? So there's an approach the Bible student must have. Look at Proverbs 6, verse 2. Let me show you something quickly there. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. There's a way to treat the Bible. There's a way to approach the Bible. There's a way to be a student. Are you in Proverbs 6, verse 2? Look at verse 2. Let's read together. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. Let me allow you to get there quickly. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Let me ask you a question. What comes to your mind when you read this? What comes to your mind when you read this? Thou art snared with the words of your mouth. Okay, I will help you see. Go to Proverbs 23. Hold on in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, 7. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Are you there? Proverbs 23, 7. What does it say? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, said he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You know, how many of us have built an empire around for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Glory. Mm-hmm. Yeah? You see, your heart is the most important part of your being. How do you see yourself? What you think about? What you reason regarding yourself will determine who you can be. So it means if you're not doing well, check your thinking. For as a man thinketh, how many things have we thinked? How many things have we think? If it's by thinking. It's by thinking. You know we will not be here today. But you know how many, you know how many people have entered depression because of this verse? For the man thinks, so is he. Okay, change your reasoning to see a new season. Let's just read Proverbs 23, verse 7 again. Look at verse 6. Okay? Look at verse 6. Are you in verse 6? Look at what it says. Eat thou not the bread of him that had an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty, what? Meat. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, said he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. How many of you understand that now? Did you understand that? Did you understand? Look at it again. Look at it again. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Are we together? Nor desire his meat. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he unto thee, but his heart is not with what? Thee. What is he really saying? What is he teaching? He's teaching about what? Deception. Eh? He didn't mean it. Do you get that? Eat now. Eat, drink. What did the Bible tell you? He says his heart is not there. So, a lot of us are like that. You are laughing at yourself? A lot of us are like that, if not most. What about like that? Come and join me. you know, start getting your grand person carrying spoon. I say, why are you carrying spoon?
So, how do we know you're a true person when you ask somebody to come and eat? So, what is he really teaching? He's teaching that word. Now, who is he warning about? He says, don't desire the meat of one that has an evil eye. So, for that man who has an evil eye, he might tell you, eat, drink, but his heart is not there. He says, take it now. Let me see how you take it. I say, come and join me. Hey, Asun. Yeah, Asun. Come and join me. But you know that the one in your hand is not okay for you. So that's what he's teaching. He says, for as he thinks, so is he. So his real person is in his heart. But he tells you in the open, eat, drink. Go back to Psalm, Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6:2. We're trying to see an example on how to study scriptures. A few examples in scriptures, right? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. On a layman English, what would that really mean? You are where you are because of what you say. Is that not what is there? Proverbs 6:2. Is that not what you can get from there? Yeah, that's what you got from there, Nabi. You are what you are because of what you said about yourself. So if you want to change where you are, change what you say. Are we together? To change where you are, you need to change what you say. All from the book of Proverbs. Are we together? But look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, thou be what? Surety. You know that word? For thy friend. If thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with thy words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy. What is he really saying? When you give your words, keep it. Did you see that? When you give your words, keep it. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Look at it again now. He says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, is that agreement? So when you keep an agreement with someone, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. So he says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, right? That are taken with the words of thy mouth. What is he saying? Let the words that come out from your mouth in agreement, what do? You maintain those words. You stay there. Are we together? So he's not saying confession. He's not saying what you confess. You are where you are because you're not confessing right. When you wake up, now, is there a place for confessing right? Is there a place for confessing right? But you don't use Proverbs 6 verse 2 to teach confessing right. Are you in church this evening? So it means we cannot afford to impose our thoughts on scriptures. We can't afford to impose what we think on scriptures. We can't afford to just assume that this is what it means. It means we need to adopt the thinking of the authors. We need to adopt their lifestyle or their mode of reasoning. Even though, yes, it will be possible for you to get it exactly. And that is where research and study actually comes from. Write this in your note. As a student, true learning entails that we adopt the thought pattern of any author. I'll say it again. As a student, true learning entails that we adopt the thought pattern of any author. True learning entails that we adopt the thought pattern of any author. Now, let's look at Matthew 28. I'll say it again. As a student, true learning entails that we adopt the thought pattern of any author. So Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. Are you there? Now, he says, look at verse 18. And he said unto them, go, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, look at that word there in 20. Let's pay attention to it this evening before we continue. So, before we go home this evening. Now, he says, what's the first word in verse 20? Teaching. Now, that word has various shades. And I'll give you those shades just right away. Now, that word, teaching, has various shades. Now, one of the shades, so number one shade of that word is the word didaskalia. 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 I'll spell it for you. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. Didaskalia. Didaskalia, yes. And it's a word that deals with doctrines or beliefs. Didaskalia deals with doctrines or beliefs. Didaskalia deals with doctrines or beliefs. Now, there's another shade of that word that is didaskolos. Didas, yes, didas is consistent. Then didaskalos or didaskalos. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S. Now, it's a word that deals with the one who instructs. Are you here? The one who instructs. The one who instructs. Didaskalos. The one who instructs. Are you here? Are you here? So the first word is didaskalia. Second word is didaskalos. The third word is didasko. Didasko. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. Didasko. Now, this deals with the act of instructing. Remember, there's a difference. I hope you know. Didaskalos is the one who instructs. Didasko is the act. Are we together? The act of the one that instructs. So, we have didaskalia, which has to deal with the doctrine, what is instructed. Yeah, the teaching, right? The belief, the doctrine. We have didaskalos, rather, which deals with what? The one who instructs. Are you okay? So we have didaskalia, we have didaskalos, yeah, we have didasko, that's the act. The didaskalos is the one who instructs, and the didaskalia is the doctrine or that which is instructed, right? Are we together? Now we have what you call didache. That's what we're going to pay attention to, didache. D-I-D-A-C-H-E, didache. And it deals with what exactly is to be taught, what exactly is to be how to teach. Didache, 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 didache. So there is a how to teach. There is a how to teach. So the word in Matthew 28:20 is didasko. Did you get that? Yeah. So when it says teaching them, is the word that means didasko. What is didasko? The act, right? It is about deals with the act, right? So it means that. Listen, everyone. It means that when Jesus said, didasko them, that is, teach them, it means that the disciples were to observe his acts in teaching. Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? No. Oh, Lord. We said didasko deals with the acts. So Jesus says, didasko, that is, teaching them to observe what I have commanded. So it means that they will pay attention to his acts of teaching. Are we together? They will pay attention to his act of teaching. Praise God. Praise God. So, we don't pick up the Bible. There's a how to read the Bible before you teach the Bible. Let me say it this way. There's a how to read the Bible. There's a how to teach the Bible. Let me say it this way. There's a how to teach the Bible. Is that true? Now, before you know how to teach the Bible, you must have known how to read the Bible. Are we together? So you know how to teach the Bible after you've known how to read the Bible. So there's a way to read the Bible. There's a way to read the Bible. There's an act of reading the Bible, and there's also an act of teaching. There's a way a teaching is to be taught. Are we together? So can a man pick up the Bible and pay emphasis or pay attention to Abraham being a wealthy man? Is that a how to read the Bible? What is the lens in which he reads the Bible from? Materialism. Did you get that? Did you get that? Can you see Abraham and see God? Are we together? Okay, let me take you ahead a little. You know the meaning of Abraham? What's the meaning of Abraham? Father of what? Many nations. Do you know that is God's name? So who is the real father of many nations? God. Okay, we'll get there. Take it easy, okay? We'll get there. Now, you can read Abraham and see father of many nations and see God as the father of many nations. What's the lens in which you saw that? Faith in Christ. So, two of us can read Abraham and you see money. Materialism. Two of us can read Abraham and you see a man of war who killed people and scattered everywhere. Lens of battle. Are we together? So there is a how to approach scriptures and there's a how to approach the Bible. So, can the how be learnt? Can it be learnt? What did Jesus expect his disciples to do? To learn it while they observe him. Are we together? That is why you see, it's not far-fetched if you see your disciple sounding like you. You know, I said this on Sunday. Right? It's not far-fetched if you hear Paul talking like Jesus. Or Peter, rather. It's not far-fetched. Are we together? It's not far-fetched. Because there are some things that you pay attention to, and there's some things that you don't pay attention to, but you are paying attention to it. Do you agree with me? I hope you know that. How many of you have deliberately paid attention to chairs after our Bible teaching, when I'm teaching online? See you on Sunday. Yes. I love you all. Cheers. How do you know it? Did you wake up? I want to see what pastor will say today. I'll now say what he will say tomorrow, what he will say next tomorrow. Then I'll find the aggregate. Did you do that? So it means that you paid attention to chairs without paying attention to chairs. All together. You know, if you want to start teaching, for instance, there's a tendency for you to say Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. Are we here? Must you add gospel after Matthew? Must you say Matthew's gospel? If you say Matthew 28, won't you know where you are going to? Won't you know? You will know now. But if you say Matthew's gospel 28, you did not listen to me to hear. How does he say? What does he say in between? I know pastor is saying something between Matthew and 28. Okay, it's gospel. It's gospel. Matthew's gospel. 28. And verse 29. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There is a mode of teaching. There's such a thing called paying attention. And there's such a thing called paying attention without paying attention. You've been in exam hall before, right? And you see a question. And you say, oh, I remember my lecturer said this. All together. I'm like, oh, he said this, he said that, he said that, he said that. Now, the truth is that he might have even said it in between a joke or in between a story. But in your paying attention, see, that means in paying attention, there is so much that is learned. That's important to take note of. Yeah? In paying attention, there is so much that is learned. In paying attention, there is so much that is learned. In paying attention, there is so much that is learnt. So, look at Matthew 7:28 while we close here. Matthew 7:28. That doesn't mean that's the verse we are closing. Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass, look at Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now that word doctrine is the word didache. All together. His doctrine, his mode of teaching. Matthew 7:28-29. I'll explain something to you just now. So you see how the next verse explains what I'm about to say. So he says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his what? Doctrine. Hold on. If you look at the word astonished at his doctrine, you would have thought that he meant astonished at what he taught. Is that not true? Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, Jesus was a very beautiful teacher. Wow. As soon as he finished, they were astonished at what he taught. Is that so? Can a layman qualify the word doctrine there as what he taught? They were astonished at what he taught. Look at the next verse. For he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. Now, is that about what he taught or how he taught? How he taught. Did you see that? What did the translators make you see the word is? It says doctrine. So can you see, you know, you hear me say things about how a word doesn't have a universal meaning. Are we together? So they were astonished at his doctrine. A layman, normally doctrine, you, if you impose your thinking of doctrine on that verse, you will think about, oh, he said that Adam was not in the garden, and you say that is what he was, that's what they were astonished about. But it tells you in the next verse, they were astonished at how, are we, right? For he didn't teach in a mode as they what? You see, he didn't say he taught something different from the scribes. Is that what he says? He didn't say that. He didn't look at it again. He says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He didn't say, and not what the scribes taught. Are we together? So his mode of teaching had an authority, and it was not the mode that the scribes had. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the scribes and Jesus were teaching from the same place? Do you think they were teaching from the same material? All together. So the same material, but the mode of teaching was different. Look at another one. Look at Mark 1:22. That's a similar one. That's the similar one that he now puts everything into one. But look at 21. Mark 1:21. He says, Are you there? So he says, Mark 1:21. He says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue, and he what? He taught. Look at the Bibles, look at the next verse. And they were astonished at his doctrine. Are you there? For he taught as one that had authority, and not as they. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Look at 27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him? So can you see, his mode of teaching came with an expression of authority. Are you together? You know, we jump from verse 22 to 27. And in the immediate story you see in 23 is about the man with the unclean spirits. Altogether. So he had a mode of teaching that came with that authority, such that unclean spirits, they listened to him. Now, what did they observe? While observing what he taught, they observed how he taught. That is the mode of teaching. Altogether. Look at Matthew 16:12. The same word didache we're looking at. So then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the what? Living of bread, but of the doctrines of what? The Pharisees and the what? Sadducees. Hold on. Look at what it says in the previous verse. Look at verse 8. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? He says, how is it that ye do not understand and I speak it not to you concerning bread? Are we here? So would you have seen Jesus holding bread? Right? What is he telling them? Know ye not that I speak not concerning bread? So it means while paying attention to what a man is teaching, you pay attention to his mode of teaching. Because you have a proper grasp of what he's teaching by understanding his mode of teaching. So see what he now says. He now tells you, he says, how is it then that you do not understand that I spoke it or not as concerning bread, that ye should beware of the what? Are you here? You should beware of the what? The leaving of the Pharisees and of the what? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the living of bread. So when you hear Jesus say beware of the living of bread, what is he saying? Beware of the living of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of their didache. Yeah? What do you suppose was the major mode of teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Covetousness. Materialism. Are we together? Altogether. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of believing, but the doctrine of Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Let's see finally Mark 12:38. Mark 12, 38. He says, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace. So beware of the doctrines, right? Beware of the what? Scribes. That means beware of their didache. Is that true? Is that correct? Beware of their doctrine, that is their mode of teaching. Are we together? Are we together? How did he qualify their mode of teaching? Or their mode of approach to the things of God? He says, they love to wear long clothing and love salutations in the what? Marketplace. Look at John 7. John 7:16. Jesus answered him and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that what? Sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of what? Myself. So it means that Jesus had the way he taught, and the way he taught is how God reasons. Altogether. So if Jesus, who has the way he taught, speaks about his name, it means we need to investigate how God, or how Jesus, or how God in the real sense, speaks about his name. So it means that we will pay attention, or we need to pay attention to the way the word, or the ways the word name was used across scriptures. Let's take it back to the beginning, okay? So we all have a purpose, are we together? We all have a calling, are we together? What's our purpose and calling? To what carries or around the gospel? Are we together? Yes, so in that, it means we need to pay attention to being a student. Are we together? So in paying attention to being a student, we'll pay attention to the mode of teaching and what is being taught. Are we together? Now, we see that in all the records of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there was a mention of the name in their conversations. Matthew was saying, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark was saying, in my name they shall cast out demons. All together, John will say what? And ye that believe in, that ye might know that ye believe in, ye might believe that Jesus is Christ and is the Son of God, and that ye might have life through his what? His name. And we have the last one, Luke. He says, and thus, it's written in scriptures, thus be well of Christ to suffer these things and to rise on the third day. All together, he now speaks about how that repentance and what? Remission of sin should be preached what? In his name. So it means that the use of the word name and the consistent use of the word name by Jesus must pay attention to it. So it means we need to understand the mode. Are we together? The mode in which Jesus used to teach about the name. Are we together? So what will fundamentally be his material? Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? So, if it is that in his name, remission and repentance of sin should be preached, it means we need to go back to his material to see how he came to it is written. All together? To see how he came to that conclusion about the name. All together. I'll close here. I'll continue on Sunday. Bow your heads and just talk in tongues for a few more minutes, okay? I'll close.